interrupt this broadcast to bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast. The German news agency...
We interrupt this program to bring you a news bulletin from Washington. The White House has just announced...
Here is a news bulletin. Shots have reportedly been fired.
Here's another late development, and this news keeps coming in.
This is an NBC News hotline report.
Special report. Verdict sparks violence. National guard.
Secret testimony of the miserable souls who survived this terrifying ordeal. The incidents, the places. My friend, we cannot keep this a secret any longer. Can your heart stand the shocking facts of the true story of Joshua P. Warren?
From the land of the sky and to high strangers around the globe, this is Speaking of Strange with Joshua P. Warren.
And the world is becoming more and more insane every day. Welcome to the program that gives you breaking news and insight regarding the paranormal and downright weird, where the unusual becomes usual, and we don't just discuss it. We go in the field to investigate. Here's one from San Juan, Puerto Rico. Well, you might remember that last year, bones from at least 40 bodies went missing from a cemetery in the Puerto Rican mountain town of Garabo. Everyone, the relatives especially, were devastated. Well, guess what, my friends? It has happened again. Police here in Puerto Rico say graveyard vandals have stolen bones from at least 4 mausoleums at a cemetery in the southern city of Ponce. We're talking, again, entire skeletons taken from at least 2 mausoleums, parts of corpses removed from other tombs. The cops still have no leads, they say, to help them determine who is taking these bodies and why. But I have found most of the people who are aware of the spiritualism here on the island say, well, it's obviously because they're being used so that magicians can capture the spirits of those corpses and use them for their bidding. Hey, welcome to Speaking of Strange. Thank you for joining us. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren, author of books like Haunted Asheville, How to Hunt Ghosts, and The Secret Wisdom of Kukulcan. I'm founder and president of Lemur Paranormal Investigations. My producer and engineer is Mr. Hardwood Forrest Connor. Good evening, Forrest.
Good evening, Joshua. You know, it's been an effort to get together over the past few weeks to do a show.
The curse of the Bermuda Triangle is kicking in. I'm sure you've probably seen this curse of Oak Island on the History Channel,
yes.
Forrest. It's like sometimes we feel that we have the curse of Speaking of Strange. Now, granted, I bring a little of it on myself by traveling to these remote locations. In fact, for those who do not know, I am right now broadcasting directly from Puerto Rico, the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, and not San Juan. I'm in Boquerón, on the southwest coast, but it's amazing to consider that the last time we did a show was over a month ago. I was in Texas. Do you remember that? Do you even remember that, Foss?
I vaguely have memories of that show.
And it was a bad connection.
But, you know, what's funny is that I got an email just 2 days ago, and I haven't replied to it yet because I wasn't sure what to say, from a woman who said, something must be wrong with my computer because I listen to Speaking of Strange every week. It gets me through the week, and I'm not finding the podcasts. So, you know, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I can't figure out where the shows are, but please help me because I'm freaking out. And I wanted to make sure that we had a show for her tonight before I replied because, hey, basically it's been a matter of ball games. It's been a matter of weather. It's been a matter of just my crazy schedule here doing expeditions in the Caribbean. Getting back to
weather,
though.
We've got family issues going on with some people and just all kinds of different stuff going on.
Well, you're exactly right, Forrest. And you know,
I'll come out and say my mom is not doing well.
Okay.
And just like any prayers that can be lifted up for her are greatly appreciated.
I'm glad that you said that because, you know, I'm always hesitant to bring up things that are too personal on the show. Would you like to tell everybody more about what's happening with your mother?
Just in a nutshell, she's got cancer. She had breast cancer. She's beat breast cancer 3 times. Well, it's come back again. It's metastasized to her liver. And she's just on, it's just borrowed time right now is what she's on. And, like, of course, she knows once it's metastasized to the liver, it's pretty much a game changer for the most part. And that, but I mean, she's strong. She's a fighter. I mean, she's cute. I mean, she's just a fighter.
Yeah. Well, you're right. We believe in the power of prayer. We know that thoughts manifest into material things, and so absolutely, everybody listening to the show, have nothing, please, but positive, healing thoughts directed toward Forrest's mother. And I guess that's one of the highest goods you can do with a radio program like this.
Great.
So yes, it's been complicated getting this show together. Which is why it's exciting to be back on the air. I must tell you, though, Forrest, it is absolutely overwhelming for me tonight because I have so much stuff to talk about. It is going to be absolutely impossible for me to squeeze this in. The news has just been exploding with madness, and I have had my own personal adventures. So, you know, I don't know how much we're going to be able to fit in tonight. As a matter of fact, my great friend and business partner, Mr. J.R. Yarnell, he's going to join us some briefly next hour. He's got his big tattoo fest coming up again here next month, which has a special meaning to me because last year when we had him on the show and he was telling me about the Tattoo Fest, that was before JR and I got together to do Puppy Fest. So a whole new conversation there. But no conversation on this show would be complete tonight without investigator Shelley Wright of Wright's Coin Shop. Are you also there in the flagship studio, Shelley Wright?
Yes, I am.
Now, you know, Shelley, I'm down here, and people get mad at me when I say this. I am in a tropical paradise. I mean, it's like 80, 85 degrees here every day. I'm out swimming in the ocean.
Oh, Josh, our connection's going away. Josh, are you there? Josh?
I have doomed everything, haven't I? Yes. And, I mean, it really is hard, and I'm being absolutely sincere, everyone. It's difficult for me to imagine that it's winter up there where all of you are in the States. Now, mind you, I have lived almost 38 years in the mountains, in the snow, so, you know, I've had my share, so I understand what it can be like.
So you know we had about 8-9 inches of snow last week, don't you?
That's what I've heard, that it's been, you know, an exceptional winter. And it's just been funny for me to think about that. Well, you know,
hilarious.
Not funny at all. Ha ha. So Shelley Wright, how has this affected business at Wright's Coin Shop?
Well, we actually closed when things got really bad out there, but the weather has warmed up, and today was absolutely gorgeous. The weather is perfect. It was sunny and breezy. It was wonderful. So we had people come in and call, and people are coming back in now, which is great. But they just need to know that when the weather's all hinky, they need to call us before they try to come out and see us and make sure we're not opening up a little later or closing a little bit early.
Well, you know, at one point, one of these past weeks, Forrest, I was all set to do a show, I guess it was a week ago, and you couldn't make it back to the studio. You were out of town, and you couldn't get into Asheville
right,
to do
I was
the show.
Actually iced in Wilmington, North Carolina, of all places. You know, they had like maybe two salt trucks for the entire area, and funny story I have to bring up on there is like, of course, Myrtle Beach is right down there below Wilmington, and I went to visit some people down there, and I was coming back, stopped at a fast food restaurant. I won't name the restaurant, but it starts with W, and the girl has red hair, so you can probably figure that out. I guess someone had told them to go salt the road, to go salt the parking lot, and someone had taken the little packets of salt from like the condiment containers inside the restaurant and poured the little packets of salt all over the parking lot.
Really?
Yes.
What?
I've got a picture of it.
How many packets?
There was probably at least 100, and see, and it was still like 40. At this point, it was still like 40 degrees outside, so it wouldn't have helped anyway, because the weather didn't come until later that evening.
Okay, well, that is legitimately funny. Somebody at corporate headquarters would love to hear that story, I'd imagine. Before we just dive headfirst into this dare I say, phantasmagoria of madness. You know, I mentioned the last Speaking of Strange I did was broadcast from Texas. I was outside of San Antonio. And before I left Texas, because for those who don't understand what's happened here, you know, I went from North Carolina to Texas for the holidays with my in-laws, and then from there to Puerto Rico. When I was in Texas, before I left, one of the things that I wanted to see before I flew out of Houston was the NASA facility. Now, Forrest, what part of Texas were you born in?
Dallas.
Okay. Have you ever been to the NASA facility in Houston?
Not the one in Houston, no.
Okay. Well, which one have you been to?
Florida.
Oh, okay. So, I decide to go to have this experience. And this experience that I had at NASA, it actually ended up being much more significant and strange than I thought it was going to be. It would make sense that a guy like myself would go to visit NASA, and some odd things would happen that would put me in a, no pun intended, kind of Forrest Gump situation where I'd get to experience more than the average person. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I will explain what I'm talking about. It's the program where we dig into the amazing, the remarkable, the extraordinary, and the downright weird. I'm Joshua P. Warren, and you are listening to Speaking of Strange.
I'm
Yeah, broadcasting from the heart of the Bermuda Triangle, the Isle of Enchantment, Puerto Rico. Hitchhiking the E.T. Highway. I'm your host, the Wizard of Weird, Joshua P. Warren, and this is Speaking of Strange. Don't forget, you can go to speakingofstrange.com to find a live chat, more information on topics discussed, links to some of the things we talk about, and you'll also find a link to the Haunted Asheville Ghost Tours and Ghost Hunts. And the great thing about the Ghost Hunts is that this time of year, because it's our off-season, the Ghost Hunts are 50% discounted. This is the only time of year that you're going to ever find that. 50% discount on Haunted Asheville Ghost Hunts. So go to hauntedasheville.com. Let me just mention this. You know, in the last segment, I was talking about some of the strange activity regarding bodies vanishing from cemeteries here in Puerto Rico. Here's a story from Albuquerque, New Mexico. It says, dead chickens found in cemetery. A small Albuquerque cemetery appears to be the victim of some foul activity. Someone is leaving dead chickens and bird parts near its headstones. Michael Gabaldon, co-owner of the Romero Cemetery, says for 2 years, dead chickens and chicken parts have been dropped off overnight. He says the chickens have been left periodically from every day to every 2 weeks. There are also some bones and feathers scattered around. He doesn't know if the chickens are part of the religious ceremony, but he called the bizarre practice disgusting and creepy, and he's putting in a gate to keep the cars out at night. Boy, something weird's happening with remains in these graveyards, and not just here, but hey, that was in the States. Forest, Albuquerque, that's always where Bugs Bunny should have taken a left, right?
To the left turn at Albuquerque.
Yeah, he always missed that one. So let me tell you guys an interesting story about Texas, because, you know, I mentioned that I had, well, this is our first show since I was in Texas. And Forrest, let me just ask you, am I sounding okay? Is our connection all right?
So far, you're sounding great tonight.
Good, good, because I'm way out here. I mean, just take out a map and look at where Puerto Rico is. I'm way out in the middle of the ocean. So, you know, you guys are listening to the show tonight. I mean, you're getting a real scoop when you hear some of the stuff I'm going to tell you about that's been happening here. But before I came here, I went to the NASA facility in Houston. Now, I think they call it actually the Johnson Center or something like that. Well, because so much has happened, that's almost like a distant memory. But nonetheless, the reason I'm bringing this up is that I went there just like any other tourist. I mean, I walked in the door and I paid, you know, $15-$20. Lauren was with me, and I went in just to have the same kind of experience that any person could have. But because I have that horseshoe stuff somewhere, this took a strange twist. Before I get to the strange twist, however, I will tell you that there is a museum there, and then there is a like a tram. We'll call it a tram. It's a little car with a bunch of other little cars hitched behind it that drives you actually over to the NASA headquarters. And if any of you follow me on Twitter, at Joshua P. Warren, or if you are a Facebook friend, you may have seen some of my pictures from this experience. But anyway, they take you from the museum over to the NASA headquarters. And one of the first things you see is the control room, where all the action happened. I mean, this is the place where, you know, Apollo 11 was controlled from. I mean, this is where they, you know, the Houston, the Eagle has landed, right? I mean, you get to go there and see that. As a matter of fact, they told us that the first and last words spoken from the mission that sent men to the moon The word was Houston. So anyway, we go there and we're looking at all this historic stuff, and everybody's getting our picture taken. And then they take us off to the new stuff, to the section where they are innovating things. And they took us into a building, which may be the biggest building I've ever been in my entire life. Because this is the building where they not only do mock-ups of shuttles and space stations and things, but where they also display and build their prototypes for new craft. So we go into this building where there are astronauts who are training, and they're zipping around doing whatever the hell astronauts do, and we're walking by looking down on this just vast display of technology. And our tour guide says, "You see that little white vehicle over there?" Said, "Yeah, it's kind of off in the distance, but yeah." He goes, "That thing is the size of a minivan, and that is going to take humans to Mars in 10 years. And he said, "They're going to cram that thing with two or three people, and they're going to be on it for 6 months to go to Mars. And then, after they do their thing, it's going to take them 6 months to get back." So it's one thing when you hear about people who are in the commercial business of flight and tourism saying, "Oh well, yeah, we're going to send people to Mars." Some of them even say it's a one way trip. But no, this is NASA. Okay, so you can kind of believe this is probably going to happen. NASA says we're going to put two or three people in a minivan and send them to Mars. It's a six-month trip. They hang out, and then they come back. At least they're going to get them back. That would just... I'd go insane. I'd be like Jack Nicholson in The Shining. I couldn't do that. It was, crazy, and just, to look at that little thing and think that eventually it will happen. I knew this will happen. So we go down the walkway, and we're looking at all this extra special NASA stuff, and the next thing you know, I look down, and the guide points to a robot. Now, Forrest, have you gotten a chance to look at the picture of this robot yet?
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah. Because we're going to have all this stuff posted for you at speakingofstrange.com. And, Shelly, you've seen the robot, haven't you?
Uh-huh.
It kind of looks like Iron Man, doesn't it?
It does.
And if I'm not mistaken, they said they actually intentionally wanted it to look like Iron Man, which is so strange. Just how geeky these scientists are that they're going to make stuff that looks like something they've read about in fiction. Anyway, what you'll see if you look at this picture is it's just a little robot on wheels, but it has a human android body from the waist up. And it has, human arms, human fingers, the kind of a golden gladiator-like...
It's almost like the Flash. Like this where you see the Flash wear, but an enclosed face on it.
Yeah. Or the Rocketeer. It's kind of like the Rocketeer from, the old movie with the old Disney movie. Anyway. Now, this is just a robot. It's an android. But the tour guide told us that this thing has an amazing capacity to learn. The first thing they did was go over and open up a bottle of Coke in front of it. Just once. And then they handed it a bottle of Coke, and it took that bottle of Coke in its hands, and it opened it. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you just how dexterous this robot that NASA has really is. And then I'm going to tell you what happened when I Forrest Gumped my way into a strange little situation. I'm Joshua P. Warren. You're getting some NASA news. This is Speaking of Strange. Welcome back to Speaking of Strange. I'm your host, Joshua P. Warren. It's the show where the unusual becomes usual. And I'm broadcasting. Well, I am in Puerto Rico in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle. The broadcast is coming from our flagship station in Asheville, which is, of course, being spearheaded there by producer Hardwood Forrest Connor, as well as, investigator Shelley Wright. You know, Forrest, I told you it was kind of overwhelming, all the stuff that I want to talk about tonight, because right. So much has happened.
Right.
And that is so true that I realized during the break, I think instead of telling you right now what this robot did at NASA that I got to see and hear about, instead of telling you what I actually got to experience at NASA, I think I'm going to save it for hour number two. Is that mean of me if I do that?
No, that's called teasing. It's called keeping the audience here with you. It's good. It's good for ratings. It's good for the commercial, for the people that run the commercials.
Okay. Well, to make it even more amazing, what if I tease everybody and say that I actually saw a UFO? Is that wrong for me to throw that? Am I going too far to say that, Forrest?
No.
Okay, thank you. I always know that you are the you're the real brains behind the operation here, and you can back me up on this stuff. I'm going to tease all of you right now because I saw a UFO. I got footage of a UFO. And in hour number two of the show tonight, I'm going to tell you what actually I learned about at NASA that, I don't know, maybe the average person doesn't know about. And then I'm going to tell you about the UFO that I saw. What do you think about that, Shelley Wright?
I think that you should definitely not just tease, definitely...
I'll deliver.
You
I'll
need
deliver.
To deliver. You have a lot to deliver tonight, little mister.
Well, you know, Shelley, you're very interested in magic and spells and all that, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, have you heard about this story from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma? Headline, student expelled for casting a spell?
No, I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, how wild is that? An Oklahoma high school suspended a 15-year-old student after accusing her of casting a magic spell that caused a teacher to become sick. The ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, said it had filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court there in Tulsa on behalf of the student, charging that the assistant principal of the high school there suspended her for 15 days for supposedly casting a spell. Also charged the Tulsa Area Union Public Schools with repeatedly violating civil rights there by seizing notebooks the student used to write horror stories and barring her from drawing or wearing signs of the pagan religion Wicca.
I'm thinking somebody's got a lawsuit in the works here.
Yeah, well, the law actually states that because of the, quote, unknown cause of the teacher's illness, that the authorities there advised the 15-year-old girl, quote, that she was an immediate threat to the school and summarily suspended her for what her arbitrarily determined, or no, I'm sorry, what he, well, we're talking about a particular guy, but I'm not giving his name, what he arbitrarily determined to be a disruption of the education process, end quote. So, you know, it's easy to think, oh, well, I'm living in the year 2014 in America. We don't believe in that kind of nonsense. And, you know, you might hear about something in Africa or India or some little Caribbean island that, you know, has some inflection related to curses and spells and spiritualism. But no. Oklahoma. What's more of the heartland than Oklahoma?
Well, you know, the thing is, really and truly, a prayer is, in essence, a spell. You say words with the expectation of a certain outcome.
Well, you're right about that. But now, how do you think that is perceived generally? Because, you know, obviously, Shelley, you live in Asheville.
Right.
Asheville's a very open-minded, creative, liberal, accepting place.
Am I going to go into a church and say something like that? No. No.
And yet, it is true, isn't it?
It is true. It is. But, I mean, why offend people? Why make them uncomfortable? Why... You know, they have certain beliefs, and I have other beliefs, and that's okay.
Well, how many of the, I mean, this is high school kids. How many high school kids actually say, please let the teacher get sick so I don't have to take this test next week?
Exactly.
I mean, seriously.
Well, yeah, that's
true. Please let something bad happen to him.
Well, at least the teen who cast the spell is not like the teen in this story from St. Petersburg, Florida. Headline. Yeah, there you go. We're doing well tonight, huh? We didn't even have to go past hour one to get into the Florida Bell. Headline, teen allegedly bit and chewed man's face. Oh, God.
Another zombie story.
Here we go. Yeah, St. Petersburg, Florida. Beautiful place. The parents of St. Petersburg, Florida teen accused in a brutal attack on his neighbor say their son may have been under the influence of synthetic drugs. Boy, they love that excuse, don't they?
Mm.
The 18-year-old faces second-degree attempted murder and other charges after police said he savagely beat his 54-year-old neighbor. The teen also allegedly attacked officers when they tried to subdue him. It says the neighbor, whose injuries are still clearly visible, said that he heard a commotion outside and came to the window about 2 a.m., and he allegedly saw the teen beating a dog and yelling about Jesus Christ and the devil. When the neighbor saw him at the window, the teen turned on him, breaking down his neighbor's door. He thought the dog was the devil. Now, this is a quote from the neighbor. And the next thing he sees is me illuminated, and all of a sudden, I'm the devil. He broke a flower pot over my head. He was sticking me in the neck with... Yeah, that's like something out of a cartoon. He broke a flower pot over my head. He was sticking me in the neck with pieces. He stuck his thumb all the way in my eye socket, and he just ripped my mouth and bit my face. He was chewing. He chewed my hands. End quote. By the time police responded, the teen was motionless on the floor, barely conscious, and yet he continued to beat his neighbor. A police spokesman said the suspect told him he was going to eat his eyes. Even after being tased twice, he was still fighting. He bit one officer in the hand and attempted to kick and strike the others. The scene was rather bloody. So the teen's parents told police he may have been under the influence of drugs or hallucinogens. You know, no kidding. The teen, who remained under sedation at a local hospital, had no prior issues with the law. As a matter of fact, neighbors described him to the station as a, quote, polite, loving, sweet, well-accomplished boy. Wow. It's hard to explain that, but everybody says bath salts are to blame. You know, they didn't say it in that story. They just said, oh, synthetic drugs. There's something to this whole kind of like synthetic chemical combination phenomenon that people are putting into their bodies that's accused as the primary culprit for much of this stuff. Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I have a story that might give us some insight onto, well, shall I say, into what kinds of things that people are putting into their bodies that might make them flip out and chew your face off. And one of them is very, very common. As a matter of fact, I bet there's a good chance you've used it yourself in the last week. I'll tell you about it when we return. I'm Joshua P. Warren. It's the program where the unusual becomes usual. This is Speaking of Strange.
Well, my name's Conley Pettimore. Same as my daddy and daddy before.
like it, fam. I'll stand in line for this. There's always room in life for this.
Final minutes of hour number one on tonight's Speaking of Strange. I am Joshua P. Warren. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk with J.R. Yarnell about the new big Asheville Tattoo Fest and, believe it or not, some Puppy Fest updates. and I'm going to tell you about what I learned at NASA in Houston, Texas, related to robots, new technology, and that will lead us straight into some UFOs that I saw. No kidding. But I am here in Puerto Rico. I am in Boquerón on the southwest corner of Puerto Rico. And, you know, this time of year especially, I do expeditions, and a lot of people come down and they want to participate in these expeditions. And one of the people who participated in an expedition is a good friend of mine named Linda Kladowski. And Linda came down and did a San Juan area expedition with me in January. She's coming back this month to do a West Coast expedition. And she wrote this review and said I could publicize this if I wanted, and I'm going to do it right now. Listen to what Linda said. She said, having just gone through what was literally the worst 6 months of my life, I had doubts that anything could really give me peace of mind and restore my psyche to a state of hopefulness. I was wrong. The East Coast trip to Puerto Rico not only refreshed my mind, but also renewed my spirit and left me with a sense of wonder and a knowing that we can always go somewhere to recharge and remember who we are. You find yourself surrounded by all the beauty and ambiance of old San Juan, trekking through a rainforest, exploring caves, experiencing one of the world's bioluminescent bays, standing atop the windiest point in old San Juan overlooking a turquoise blue ocean, wandering through the forts at El Moro and San Cristobal. All this and much, much more, not to mention what they can do with rum. The beauty and mystery of this island is truly beyond description. You simply have to experience it. But when it comes to telling the story and taking you on this journey, no one does it like Joshua Warren. Go on this journey if you possibly can. It might just be a turning point for you.
Wow.
How about that, huh? So that's Linda Kladowski about her first trip here. Now she's coming back. And she's taking the West Coast trip, and I kind of think she's already looking for a place to live down here. She would not be the first person who's come on an expedition and decided to get a place like I have.
You basically did the same thing. You went down there and fell in love with the place, and you decided you wanted to live down there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is the perfect place to spend as much time as possible. And let me just tell all of you that these expeditions that I do, they don't operate like clockwork. I do them when I can. for example, next month in March, I'm going to be in Boise, Idaho, with George Norrie, participating in an event called George Norrie Live. And it's going to be at a nice little stadium there. My understanding is it's already pretty much sold out. And I'm going to be there with Stanton Friedman and Jim Mars. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh, Forrest? Jim's a great friend of ours. And then in May, I'm going to be at the Para History Conference up in upstate New York. So I travel around a lot, and I do all kinds of crazy things. But for the time being, I think I might be able to fit in one more expedition in April. So if any of you listening to this show want to go on an expedition in Puerto Rico, well, I'm telling you, these opportunities are few and far between. But go to ParanormalPuertoRico.com, ParanormalPuertoRico.com, and check it out. And email me if you're interested. Okay, we're coming up on our break. And when we return, we will have Mr. J.R. Yarnell. We're going to talk about puppies and tattoos. And then after that, I'm going to talk about NASA and UFOs. I'm Joshua Warren. This is Speaking of Strange.